Chapter number one. It's an interesting thought, interesting idea that they see Jesus in us. They see a lot of different things in us. We want them to see God working through us. We want to see that as Christ is working through us, we want people to see the Lord in us and Jesus in us. Appreciate the song. Appreciate the message behind the song. So our theme for 2023 is the word blessed. And with the idea of the word blessed, there's a lot of different meanings in the Bible. When you get the word blessed, it comes from some different Greek and Hebrew words. But there's three main thoughts we're going to look at this year. And don't worry, we're not going to do it all throughout the whole message. But this morning, we're going to look at one of the thoughts. And throughout the year, we're going to be looking at different ways that we can be a blessed individual, a blessed family, a blessed church. And so when you think about it, the word blessed, many times when you think people saying, hey, blessed means that I am benefiting. I am blessed. We hear people say that and they talk about it. I'm blessed because I have a home, or blessed by my family, blessed by my church family. It talks about the blessings that we have received. That's how a lot of times people look at the word blessed. Also, there's a word blessed, like as you see in Matthew chapter number 5. It says, blessed is the poor in spirit, and begins going down, and there's a lot of them. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that which you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. And so when you come to that passage and the way that the word blessed is used there, it's talking about a person who is supremely blessed, talking about an individual who is blessed by God. And what do you mean? Aren't we all blessed by God? Well, when we live certain lives, then yes, there's something that God sees and says, there's something I can bless. There's something I can use. And when it's talking about in Matthew chapter number 5, and it's not what we're going to talk about today, we're living a life that God sees and God says, there's someone I can show myself strong in. There's someone I can show myself mighty in. And I think we should all want to be blessed by God that way. We hear the word Happy New Year, and I think it's nice that people want to be happy. And that's how this word in Psalms chapter number 1 is talking about a person that is joyous, a person that is happy. That idea of blessed is when you think about from Bible terminologies, many times people equate the two together because it has that base meaning of being happy. But what we think makes us happy versus what the Bible thinks says makes us happy are two different things often. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So when we're talking about the word blessed and the idea that we have so many wonderful things in our life, we're thinking about how it's in Christ we receive these spiritual blessings. It's the reason, and we'll look at that idea of being blessed, and we're going to reveal our theme song in the afternoon service where it talks about blessings and things like that. So when we consider that, you know, that we've been blessed by a lot of things. We just go around. We consider, hey, you know, I was born in America. That's a blessing. Most of us probably came from a house that had heat last night. Well, you probably didn't need it as much as you needed last week, but you had heat and probably electricity. We have a lot of external things that are blessings in our life, and we can say, man, I am truly blessed. Then you begin considering, like it talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and we consider all the blessings we have, the Word of God. Think about it. This is God's Word. He wrote this Word, and He's given it to us. And think about it. He's given us a Spirit. He's given us the opportunity to speak to Him through prayer. He gives us the opportunity to bring our burdens, and the blessings are just huge. But when we come to this spot today, and it's one of the things that I think is interesting, is when we think about this idea of being blessed, I'm not talking about us saying, oh, wow, I hope I get more things this in 2023. But the idea is I want to live a life. I care enough about what I want for God to do in my life. I want to live a life that God can bless. I don't want to live a life that God's not going to bless. And there are times in the Bible that it talks about, hey, there are certain things a blessed person's going to do, and there are certain things a blessed person's not going to do. And when we come to Psalms chapter number 1, that's what it's talking about. There are certain things that are prohibitions, and the idea a blessed person, a person that's going to be happy, a person who's going to have the blessings of God in their life, this is something they're not going to do. But then it also continues on and it talks about how they're peculiar in certain ways. There are certain things that they do that other people that are not happy and other people that are not having the blessings of God, they wouldn't do. And then you see there's a promise that's connected to it. And I like that. And I know in years past I've used those three words before when it comes to the prohibitions and the peculiars and the promise that's there. Because in this passage of Scripture, I want to be a blessed individual. And it's not the fact that I'm seeking more external things because, you know what, they come and they go. Life is just a vapor, and whoever has more stuff doesn't win. And it really, truly doesn't bring happiness. You see many times people that have what the world would consider the happiest things, and what are they riddled by? They have divorces, and they have alcohol problems, drug problems many times. You see the suicide rate when you see all these young people in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and I know it's not just them, but it's the beautiful people that the world would call, the people that are super successful, or this young star, or this young actress, or this young rapper, and they end up losing their life. It's because they were seeking for things that were going to make them happy. But if this year we're going to look at what the Bible says will make us happy, we're going to look at what the Bible says will bring joy, and what the Bible says will bring peace, and what the Bible says, all these things that if you truly want to be blessed, it's not the idea of how much money you have in the bank account. It's about the fact that it's a life that we live that will truly bring satisfaction and happiness despite all the different circumstances that are happening. And we see people in the Bible over and over that are going through such tremendous turmoil and such tremendous hard times, but they're happy. And they're not happy in the fact that they can get a high and, hey, I'm going to be happy. They're not happy because they get to go spend maybe a few hours with their friends and for those few hours they find true happiness. No, they're talking about the joy that's only found in Jesus Christ. And we went through the book of Philippians this past year on Wednesday nights, and I love the book of Philippians. Probably my favorite book of the Bible. It's definitely my favorite to preach through. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's always rejoicing. Rejoice in him. How do we have that joy? Because it's not found in our circumstances. He said, in whatever state I am, I'm content. And in this past week, we ended the book of Philippians. He talked about being how the Lord was going to provide all our needs. He's going to give us all our needs according to his riches and all those different things. But this morning, as we consider 2023, I truly want to live a life that God can bless. I truly want our church to be a spot where God can look at and say, I can put my blessing there. I can use the power of God there. God, I can pour out God's blessings and God's power upon this place, because I look around it and I see individually and collectively lives that can be blessed, lives that can be used. And let's just look in the Scriptures and see what the Bible says. And I know we've been going through the book of Mark on Sunday mornings, and because of the Christmas program and because of Christmas morning, we stopped for a couple weeks. This actually just a few minutes ago in Sunday school class, I preached Nick's message about Jesus. And you go read the end of Mark chapter number 2 and you'll be like thinking, man, did Jesus really say that? And he did. And we're learning about him as we follow after Jesus. And as we learn from him, we see these things. That's what we want to do. We want to see what Jesus is teaching us. We're not interested in man-made traditions. And once again, I understand convictions. I understand the things we learn from the Bible, principles we learn from the Bible. I am not against, you know, principles and standards. You know, if you know me, those are things I value very highly. But it's something we must remember, what truly brings happiness. Just because you act a certain way and you dress a certain way and because you abstain from certain things, and if your heart isn't right, you know what's going to happen? You're never going to be happy. If there's something wrong inside, you're not going to have the happiness that's there. And that's where it comes to here in verses 1 through 3, is the idea of the blessed man. I think some of us could even quote these verses. They're familiar to us. But it's a great way to start 2023, understanding that this is what God says will bring you happiness. It says in verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open up your word and as we consider this upcoming year, help us to see it as another opportunity. God, another year you've given us to serve you. Lord, the opportunities that lay in front of us, Lord, are limitless because of you. Our potential is not found in our strength and our wisdom and our riches. The potential is found what you can do through us. And God, when we consider what your word says, this is what a happy person will do, help us desire to truly find that joy in you and see what the word of God says and believe it. Lord, it's not about only our potential that we have as you working through us, but Lord, it's our expectation. Many times, Lord, we're not expecting God to work because of the fact that we've limited you by our faith. We've limited you by the way that we live our lives. Lord, I pray that we be a church that says, Lord, we want you to bless us this year. Lord, we want to see people saved. We want to see people discipled. We want to see people added to our church. Lord, we want to have those spiritual blessings as talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, that you've blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That we understand what this word blessed means. And it's not just because we have a lot of things. And yes, we are overwhelmingly blessed. And yes, we should count our blessings because it's going to give us in the right mindset of seeing who God is. But Lord, that we will see the type of life that you say, this is a person I can bless. Whether it means being poor in spirit, or Lord, whether it means seeking, hungering, thirsting after righteousness, that we'll grab a hold of these principles and say, I want to live a blessed life. And I'm interested in being happy this new year, but I truly want a blessed new year. And God, that as we learn from your word this year, that you would impress upon our hearts that we are a blessed people because of the God we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing you see in it, we'll call it the prohibitions, or the things that a blessed person will do, or things that a happy person will not do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see the digression that's happening there. Some people say it's a progression. In all reality, what it's saying is it's they're digressing. They're going from just walking with someone who's thinking ungodly to standing with someone who is doing ungodly to sitting with someone who is actually mocking those things that are godly. Now, many times we would say, you know, what's going to make me happy is when I have all the things I want. As I mentioned before, there are certain things that I enjoy in life. There are certain things that I particularly enjoy. I would rather this be a blue Mountain Dew than a bottle of water. So I enjoy that. But at the same time, when it comes to what the Bible says, this is what truly brings happiness. Sometimes people miss this. They seek for happiness in a bottle, even if it is Blue Mountain Dew. They seek for happiness inside drugs or alcohol or relationships outside worldly relationships. They seek for it in music sometimes, and they seek for it in hobbies or even their work or even their families. And once again, there's some of those things there's nothing wrong with, but at the same time, the Bible says if you're truly going to be happy, and the Bible's filled with these illustrations and these principles. And that's our goal this year, is to look at and say, if I truly want to be happy in the Lord, and I truly want to learn how to rejoice, and I truly want to be a person that has the joy of the Lord as my strength, what is it that I'm not going to be able to do? Let's look here. First of all, it says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And the idea here that there's nothing wrong with counsel. Counsel is something that the Bible says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and the multitude of counselors there is safety. But if you get the wrong type of counsel, you know what happens? It's not going to make you happy. I've had people tell me one thing and say, hey, if you want to fix this, go ahead and do it this way, and they give you counsel, and you go try it, and it doesn't work, and make things matters worse. You know what happens? we're unhappy. We blame that person. We should never listen to that person. And this is similar to what they're saying here. That we should not be walking with those that are ungodly. We should not be listening to the counsel of the ungodly. Now, as we heard the trio sing earlier, and I really enjoy that song, give me a vision for the lost. Give me a vision for those that are unsaved. Help me to see, as the choir sang, help me to see as God would see. So it doesn't mean that we ignore everyone that does not believe the same way, or those that do not believe in God, or those that are acting ungodly. It does not mean that we ignore them. Obviously, the Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible tells us to go and reach out to those that are lost. And it's one of the things I loved about going through the Bible chapter by chapter. We're watching Jesus in the book of Mark, and he did things that we probably would never, ever consider doing unless Jesus did them first. I mean, he went and called that publican like Levi. He went and he touched that leper that we saw, I think it was in Mark chapter number 2. He called those fishermen, the big mouth Peter. He did all those different things, and we learn of him when we see those things because we take counsel of the things he did. And he says, look, if Jesus did those things and he went and ate with sinners, as we saw in Mark 2 with Levi when he threw that celebration, he went and ate with sinners because he wanted to reach the sinners. That's great. That's Bible. That's apical. And you're going to be blessed as you trust in the Lord and follow after him. But it's not somebody you should be taking counsel from. They're not the ones that you should go to when you're seeking for decisions. They're not the people. You say, what is ungodly? That means someone who's not acting like God. I think a believer can act ungodly at times. I think a person who gets inside their pride and gets inside their own flesh, I've seen believers act worse than unbelievers at times. And if you've been part of churches in the past, you've probably seen it before yourself. You're like, they call themselves a Christian? Yeah, they call themselves a Christian, but they have a flesh and they deal with the flesh. And yes, they need our prayers and God's going to help them on all those things. But we do not need to be walking with those that are acting ungodly. It begins with not taking counsel and listening to those and seeking advice. He says he does not, the person that's a blessed man does not listen to the ungodly. Jesus always based what he did according to the will of God. He didn't sit around and think, okay, let me ask so-and-so what they're going to do. The Pharisees are over there and they're giving him a hard time over and over in the book of Mark. He did, and this morning they did it again. He doesn't look to them and say, so what do you think I should do next? Do you think I should go to the cross? Do you think I should not heal this person? We're going to look at next Sunday. They bring this guy that has a withered hand, and they sit there and they look at him. They watch him. They're going to watch Jesus, and Jesus even looks to them and says, hey, look, is it legal? Is it legal to heal on the Sabbath? And you know what they said? Not a word. Why is that? Because they didn't want truth. All they wanted was their way. They were being ungodly. They were being hypocritical. They were being all these things. And Jesus turns around and he heals the man. And they say, oh, you shouldn't work on the Sabbath. But if he chose not to heal the man, you know what they would have said? Oh, he must not care about that person. There are some people you're not going to please. There are some people who are not going to understand spiritual things and spiritual matters. Those are the people you should not be taking advice from. Those are people that they're struggling with, such as David when he went to fight Goliath. Saul was there, and Saul is sitting there on his throne. Saul doesn't go up to fight Goliath. But you know what Saul does? Well, let me tell you, David, this is what you should do. You take my armor, you take this, and then you go fight. Saul shouldn't be giving it any advice. Saul should be praying to God, saying, why am I so afraid? Why am I so fearful? He should be thankful that some shepherd boy was willing to come fight his battle for him. So the counsel of the ungodly is someone who is not acting godly, is not the person you should go to help you make your decisions. Now, can you find someone who's going to think like you? Oh, you sure can. The devil is going to bring somebody in your life that's going to make you feel right about your ungodliness. And that's where sometimes we get our counsel from. We need to be careful not to get our counsel from there. We need to make sure that our counsel comes from those that is the right with the Lord and that are seeking the Lord, that's saying, hey, let's open up the Bible and let's see what the Bible says. Hey, if this is wrong, the Bible says it's wrong, we shouldn't be doing it. So just like Jesus was not going to ask the Pharisees, hey, what do you think my next miracle should be? We should not be going around to people that we know do not believe in God, or people that we know are not in the Word of God, that are not studying their Bible, that do not have a vibrant prayer life, people who we do not want to be like spiritually. We should not be saying, hey, what do you think I should do with my life? And I know this is challenging because we all like to give advice. We all feel like we like to help. But sometimes if we're not in the right spot, I think we should learn how to say, hey, I'll pray for you. Instead of trying to give advice that we don't really have because we're not spiritually in the right spot. Because even in our own life, we're acting ungodly. So he says, look, don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't make this the place when you're walking there. He says, in the walking in the counsel of the ungodly, do not allow that to be what determines what your path is. Let this be what determines your path. Let the light in, you know, the verse number 2, it says, but his light is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. This is what our path decides, and this is the things that we look to. That's what a happy person looks like. Now, most of us are like thinking, hey, I feel pretty good when I get to talk around people that are ungodly. They make me feel good about myself. They make jokes maybe they shouldn't say, that's all good. No, the Bible's saying here, that's not a blessed person. That's not a happy person, because look what happens next. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then it continues on, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So it's not just somebody trying to give you counsel about doing ungodly things or how you should live your life. They are people who are actually missing the mark. That's what sinners mean. They miss the mark. They're not doing what God desires for their will, and that you stop and you stand with them. Those who are not living for God, those who are purposely going against what God desires. He says that's what happens when a person begins to listen to the ungodly, begins to get advice from the ungodly. What's going to happen sooner or later, you're going to be around them. And you're going to be around them, and as you're around them, you're going to be able to start thinking, hey, you know what they're doing isn't that bad. They're pretty good people. Hey, they helped me out over here. But the Bible says they didn't help you. The Bible says they didn't point you to Christ. They didn't point you to the Word of God. They've lived you, given you a life to maybe make you feel happy about yourself for a little while. But in reality, the Bible says, blessed is the man that standeth not in the counsel of the ungodly, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. It's a person that it comes in not only listening to them, he's stopping and talking to them. The Bible says, there is a way that which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:12 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Everybody can justify their own sin, and they think they're all right, but the Bible says he's a sinner. That's not the people you want to be standing with all the time. Once again, there should be an outreach to those that give you the counsel ungodly about, hey, this is truth, this is right. But standing and agreeing with their sin and staying with them and continually being there, that's a dangerous thing. And that's not going to bring the blessedness that God talks about. And then the third thing, he says, not only do they walk and stand, it says they sit. They're sitting with the scornful then. People who are mocking God, they can sit there and they can listen to someone mock God and mock the things of God. They have no problem listening to somebody that is gone from, hey, there's the counsel. I listened to them a little bit. I hung out with them. Now I'm sitting there listening to someone mock the Lord. Even in this seat is many times an atheist, a person who does not even believe there is a God. But we sit and we listen from them and we begin to understand them and we begin to want to think like them and be like them. And that's what the Bible says. You're not going to get the blessings of God by walking with the counsel of the ungodly, by standing with sinners, by sitting with the scornful. That is not what's going to bring the blessings of God. Now, it might feed your flesh for a little while. It might make you feel good about yourself for a little while. You might get a little entertainment, but it's not going to bring the joy. It's not going to bring the peace. It's not going to bring the happiness that can be found in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I've even seen it happen in churches. I've told you I've been to churches. I've been a part of a church that was part of a church split, and there were some people that were just doing ungodly things. They began murmuring, and they began getting other people to talk with them, and they began getting counsel from them. Hey, what do you think I should do? Well, you shouldn't go to that church anymore, or you shouldn't teach that class anymore. And they began just murmuring and getting counsel, and they began, instead of before, the group got bigger and bigger, and then it came to the point that they became scorners and mocking the things of God. Man, it's a dangerous spot to be. Make sure you're not taking your counsel from someone that doesn't love the Lord. So while everybody says, well, I love the Lord, make sure you're not taking your counsel from someone who's not loving the Lord with their lives. Because we can say we love the Lord, but we can show and demonstrate something completely different in our lives by the way we live them. When we do ungodly things, we should not be listening to counsel of people that are doing things that are fleshly. The Bible tells us throughout the Bible, all throughout the Word of God, what is fleshly, what that looks like. Good counsel is fine. Standing with those that are doing, that are sinners, is a dangerous thing. And then you see here, sitting with the scornful. He digresses. Before, he would never probably listen to anybody say anything bad about God. He would never listen to anybody say something bad about the leadership. He would never had listened and put up with those things. But now he's learned, and now he's to the spot where he's not in a blessed spot. They're a spot that are very critical and unhappy. And once again, I've only been around, well, it's almost 50 years now. I turned 50 in 2023, and I've been around church my whole entire life. I can tell you that the people that are living ungodly and that are listening to that counsel, that are standing here and that are walking, I've seen them go from young to old, and they're not living happy lives. Once again, they can, when they get their way, they think it's going to bring them satisfaction and happiness. It doesn't. And that's what the Word of God says. So that is the prohibition. Say, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't be walking in the counsel of the ungodly, which means don't be living according to their rules and their guidelines. Don't be standing with the sinners. Don't be sitting with the scornful. That's the prohibitions. But think about the peculiarity, something that makes them peculiar. And this is completely different than what most people, because the devil fights this. Look what it says in verse number 2. But his delight, this person actually finds joy in the Word of God. He's not just reading it to get it done. He's not just marking it off. He actually says he joys in the law of the Lord. You think about it, the law of the Lord, we can consider the first five chapters might be all that David has here. We're not 100% sure what exactly David has, but more than likely it's the first five chapters. And boy, if he could find delight in his first five books, if he can find delight in his first five books, boy, we have 66 books, and there's a lot more that we've learned about, and a lot more that we learn about Jesus. We learned that Jesus came, and he died, and he rose again for our sin, and he's coming back again someday, and we learned about the church. And he delights in the law of the Lord. It doesn't say that he's delighting in all the promises of God. He's not saying he's delighting in all the good, fuzzy feeling verses that sometimes people like to lift out and miss everything else. He delights in the law of the Lord. And then he goes a step further and says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is a peculiar person, because we don't have people that do that very often today. I wish I could get this in my own mind and in the minds of all of us, that the Bible is a thrilling book. It's not a boring book. It is a privilege to even have a Bible. It's a real delight to be able to read and study the Word of God. Blessed is the man. He's saying the person that is blessed, the person that is happy, is when he finds his delight in this book. He consumes this book, and he meditates on it, and he considers it even at daytime or at nighttime. What is it that you delight in? I mean, so many times people look at that book, and they're like, well, I don't like that portion. Oh, let's just skip over that. That's not, the person's not going to find happiness that way, because it's going to be wishy-washy and going to be like, well, that portion of the Bible is okay for you, but I don't want that portion. Give me the portions that make me feel good. That's never going to bring the happiness. He delights in the entire book. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this next phrase, and his commandments are not grievous. David's looking at this book, and he's writing, as he writes this, he's saying, I love these laws. Now, are they tough laws? Yeah, there's a long list of things in the law that we don't even follow today. We eat shellfish. Back then, they weren't supposed to. And there's all different types of things. But he said, you know what? I love those laws. They're not grievous to me. They're not something I have to be, man, I got to do this, and I can't do this. And now that's, you miss the whole point of the Word of God, that God himself has written his book. And he says, if you're going to truly be happy, is when you embrace this as, hey, this is God's word for me. And I'm going to learn it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to meditate on it during the daytime. And I'm going to read it during the daytime, meditate on it at nighttime. It's the things I'm going to be thinking of when I go to bed. It's the things I'm going to be thinking of when I get up. He say, Pastor, that seems very peculiar. That's the blessed man. That's the man that God looks at and says, I can bless something like that. What do we delight in? There's lots of things. I see there's happiness when people watch children play. There's people when they spend time with friends. And there's nothing wrong with that when people get to eat something good. Oh, boy, I enjoy eating something good. And I'm hoping there's some good chili back there. One of my sons or our family made one of those. I'll probably stay away from that one because I know it's probably not that good. But somebody's chili back there is probably good. I enjoy those things. But what do we find delight in? We delight in His Word. The Bible says that will bring happiness. Delight means to have great pleasure. It pleases us greatly. How many times we look at this book and say, man, I wish that wasn't written in there. Man, God says I got to forgive. God says I got to submit. God says I got to love. God says I got to obey. God says, you're not delighting in His Word, because if we would say, this is what God says is going to make us happy. One of the passages, I don't have no idea the preaching schedule where the Lord lays it out. In the book of John, chapter 13, Jesus goes and He washes the disciples' feet. We know that story. And I'm not quoting it, but he says something. He says, you've seen what I've done. He says, now do this also. Now that you know this, happy are ye if you do this. Happy are ye if you do this. You're going to find happiness in service, even to the point of serving, of wiping someone else's feet. He says, you're going to learn, if you'll learn the meaning behind this, you will enjoy the service of God. I see people sometimes in churches that look miserable. I mean, just completely miserable. And sometimes they're even serving and like, oh, come on. I remember, like I said, growing up, there are certain people that you could look at and they just never looked happy. Now, some people have a different disposition. Some people have a different face. I understand that. And I'm talking about there's no joy in their heart. There's no joy in their life. There's no joy that they bring across. And I know some people are loud and some people are soft-spoken. I understand all those things. But at the same time, there are some people who are just miserable in their lives. And you can see it. They're miserable all the time. And the Bible is saying, if we will delight ourselves in the Word of God, in the law of the Lord, in His law doth he meditate day and night, that we will find happiness. Look what it says in verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it continues on that not only he's not someone who's going to move, and you know, he's someone who's sticking by the Word of God. Look, he says, and he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. But look at this promise. And this is where we're going to stop at, because it's there. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, what amazing promise. Wouldn't you like to say that everything I do, it's going to prosper? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Boy, everything I touch is going to turn to gold. He's saying there, when you delight in the things of God and you have a heart for the things of God, you're going to be doing the right things. And as you do those right things, God says, that's something I can bless. That's something I can use. It might not always look the way we think it should. It might not always turn out the way we think it should, but that is something I can use. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. He's saying, look, you're going to bring forth your fruit in your season. Don't worry about everybody else's fruit. Don't worry about all those other things. He says, your fruit in your season, your leaf, it's not going to wither. What the Bible is saying there, it's focus on delighting in the Word of God. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Those things are going to tear away your happiness. But when you can find some delighting in the Word of God, and you can read the Word of God, and you can meditate the Word of God, He gives you those desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of thine heart. He'll give you those things. And that's what He's saying. Whatsoever you do is going to prosper. Why is that? Because God says, there is a person I can bless. There is a person I can use. But where's the negative at? I say, I don't see the blessing of God in my life. I don't see how God's using. And sometimes there's dark times, and sometimes we just stay faithful and just keep on going and keep on going. I asked somebody what their plans for 2023 was, and I think their response was, just keep on going, taking one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. And it wasn't a bad response, but that's sometimes in a dark spot, that's what you got to do, is just put one foot in front of the other and just seek God's will and seek God's blessing. How do you get God's will and God's blessing? This is what the Bible says will make you happy. Delighting in the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, and allowing it to change your life. But here's the challenge. Many of us don't even read it, much less delight in it. So how do we get there? First of all, we have to see the importance of it, and we need to ask God to change our taste buds. Mr. Humbert was giving a testimony yesterday. He used to be an alcoholic. He used to be somebody who smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and he said that he went and he asked the Lord, and the Lord had been working on his heart, and he asked the Lord to take away those desires. And he said that he walked away and never smoked again. Now, does it always work that way for everybody? Not everybody gives that testimony, but it worked for him. He says, Lord, take those desires away. And he said he never did it again. I think that's awesome. Is there something in our life we need to say, God, can you take away this desire? There was a, forgive me for looking on my phone, because there was somebody who texted me this quote from a preacher and I thought it was good. Let me see if I can find it. Man, I sent a lot of texts this morning. Oh, there it is. Okay. May this next year bring you closer to Christ and farther away from the lesser passions which would steal you from him. I thought that was good. May this next year bring you closer to Christ and farther away from the lesser passions which would steal you from him. And you think about that. You know, maybe our prayer needs to be this morning, Lord, I'm delighting in some of the wrong things. Take away my taste for that. Give me a hunger and thirst for you and your word and your righteousness. Because the Bible says that's what's going to make people, you're going to have people that are unhappy sometimes in churches. You're going to have people that are grumpy sometimes in churches. You can't deal with just love the law. Love the word of God. Delight yourself in the word of God. Don't stand in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't be standing in the way of sinners. Don't let those that are living ungodly influence your life. Don't be sitting in the seat of scornful. Reject those things. Focus on the word of God. That's what the Bible says here, as a blessed person, a blessed individual. So, blessed. I know that there's people that wear shirts that says blessed. And there's people who think, because of everything I have, boy, I am so blessed. And that, those are not bad ways. There's ways that's used in the Bible. But true happiness, the Bible says, blessed is the man that does this. Blessed is the man that doesn't do this. So let's see what the Bible says this year of what truly brings happiness and joy. Before I close, I do want to make sure we understand where real joy and happiness comes from, knowing God and knowing him personally. See, we're all sinners. It happened in the garden. Sin has been passed down. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, there is a sin problem in this world, and that sin problem is that I have to pay for my sins. The wages of sin is death. But the rest of that verse is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came to pay our sin debt for us. And I don't know if you're here this morning and you say, we got some people visiting with us, and thankful for you that visiting with us. Whether you've been here first time or this is your 100th or 1,000th or 5,000th time here, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came to this world to pay our sin debt for us. And he says if we will turn to him and we'll put our faith and trust in what he did on that cross when he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose victorious from the grave. It's not just believing that there is a God and that Jesus did those things. It's putting our faith and trust in him, seeing that we're a sinner and that we need a Savior. And today you might say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I know I need to be saved. And let us take a Bible and show you what the Word of God says. Not what man says, but what the Word of God says, how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. This morning, if you've never asked Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, getting ready to have an invitation, we'd love for you to come forward. And if you're a man, we'll have a man take you in the back and sit down with you with an open Bible and explain the Word of God, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to accept Christ. If you're a lady, the same thing. Don't leave this place without knowing that, because none of us are promised tomorrow. Then the main crux of the message was obviously to all those that are believers. This is what God says is happiness. This is what God says will bring you happiness. Are you walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Are you standing with the sinners? Are you sitting in the seat of the scornful? He says that won't bring you happiness. It might bring you a little bit of satisfaction for a little while. It's just not going to last. It's sort of like those, oh, if I just have one more drink, I'll be happy. If I just have one more this, true satisfaction. Let's see what God's word says it is. And let's understand what his word says. And not the counsel of the ungodly. So
you're picking on them. He says, well, no, if it's against what God says, then it is ungodly.
So let's make sure that's not dictating our life. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, my desire for my life this year is that I would live a life that you could bless. My desire for our church this year, that it would be a church that you can bless. And God, I pray that you would work in our hearts, not just this morning, but throughout the year as we try to dig into the Word of God and see what it really means to be blessed, to be happy, to be supremely blessed by God, and to be thankful because we are blessed with so many spiritual blessings. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts during this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.